Hey everybody, what you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. My eyes were so thirsty for color. We could talk about the like art design of this game. My eyes were so thirsty for color, like when Vincent appeared on the screen, like I felt endorphins rushing into my brain. Like, red, I remember red. I've seen that color before. Like, it is, this movie, it was a product of this time, and I think the thing what they're thinking is like, no, this is a very serious story about our characters we're taking very seriously. There could be no primary colors. It's all very like super washed out blues and grays and browns. And because of that, and I can understand why they would choose those colors, because it's like, well, the world is rebuilding, things are still pretty drab. It is so just unengaging to look at, this movie. It's just so dull looking, and things would get worse for visual design of games and movies around this time. We're not quite in the only brown period we'd move into a few years later, but still, like, for as bright and colorful,
I would say we were on the way. I mean, Call of Duty,
oh yeah,
that was, you know, that was Call of Duty 4 was 2007. Like, games were definitely going monochrome at this point.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gears was 06, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was on its way. Not that Final Fantasy, they weren't looking to American games for visual cues, I don't think, anyway. But this is gray in the way Spirits Within is gray.
Like, yeah.
And it ties into the whole self-serious aspect of it, complexity for the sake of complexity. Media was, especially video game media, was like, we're so grown up now. And look at these muted and drab color palettes. Yeah. We're not childish like they were back in the 16-bit era. Look how serious these very sad men are. And then at a certain point, I would say probably around 2010, 2011, things started to flip again, thank God. And that happened in anime as well. Shows like Gurren Lagann came in and said, no, screw your extremely self-serious real robot crap. We're just having fun. Woo!
Colors are literally locked away with materia. Like, the materia kept in a treasure chest till the end of the movie. Like, no materia, no fun. Like, also, the characters all have...
And Yuki's just carrying it for most of the movie. She, like, half the movie is her holding the materia and just commenting on the action that's happening.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say that, like I loved the design of Final Fantasy VII. I love just how colorful and cluttered the world is. And, it really bummed me out. Just, like, I want to see the crazy and fun designs of the characters in this movie that are in the games. And they're so toned down. All the villains are wearing, like, these boring black leather costumes. And I feel like this movie is, like, kind of ashamed of every other character. It's just like, okay, serious story, but we also have a robot cat that's in the cast. What do we do with him? And because of that, Ketchy is barely in the movie, and he's never, like, in a shot by himself. He's always, like, sneaking into the side of a frame. It's like, okay, we also have a talking fucking cat. Where does this guy fit in? We have the machine gun arm guy.
In fairness to the movie,
yeah,
I will say that Ketchy was a robot controlled by a character who is already in the movie. So there's not actually really much purpose for Ketchy to exist outside of what passes for, like,
is
a combat
sequence. Is
that cat
a robot or not?
The cat is a robot,
but
riding a plush
guy.
Moogle, and he is controlled by Reeve, who is a Turk, formerly a Turk. I don't know if he's still a Turk in this movie. I don't care. But, you know, I can understand that, like, maybe it's not really essential to have Ketchy there, but I am glad that when he does show up, again, he has a Scots accent. That's great.
It is.
I appreciate it.
I do like that they kept that, but also
it's localized in a Scotch accent too, which makes it very hard to read in a subtitle that quickly goes away.
Just like Dragon Quest IV.
You just need to watch more Star Trek and Mr. Scott. Come on.
But I will say, yeah, like I feel like these characters were designed for to be read via very simple polygonal models. So that's why they have very bold color choices originally. They have very big features like a machine gun arm or a cape or a giant Moogle they ride on. But they are so toned down that we lose a lot of what makes them interesting. And also, the movie is ashamed of everybody but Cloud and Tifa. Just like, you get a little Barret, you get a tiny, you get a little pinch of Cid maybe, but that's it. Like, they just, I don't know why they're holding back on the thing people want to see. Maybe they thought they'd make more movies. Who knew? Who knows?
But you do, you get a tiny taste of the anime-ness with Tifa, though. Like in her big fight scene, there's a quick upskirt. They made sure to get that in there.
Oh, thank God.
But her fight scene is good, except once it's over, it's like, okay, you don't actually get to win. Like, you don't. She gets to beat the guy, and then after she beats him, he just pops out of the ground. He's like, nah, I'm not really beaten. And
yeah, it's like an RPG battle where you win the fight, but then in a cutscene, the bad guy wins afterwards. Yeah, it's actually very true to the source material.
I have this crystal, actually.
Reno and Rude drive me crazy. I think they are much needed levity in this self-serious thing, but from characters you didn't want to see at all.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares about them. That they take the scene, these characters could easily...
I'm sorry, are you saying no one wants to see Reno and Rude? They're like the best side characters in Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
the
totally.
Turks are great. I think like the Turks are fantastic.
They're like almost a Greek chorus in the game.
Yeah, they show up from time to time. They fight you. They don't really care that much about the story. They're really fun. I have no complaints
they're
about the presence
of the
Turks
here.
They're
the best part of Final Fantasy VII Remake, honestly.
Oh, cool.
I would take their minutes away in this film and give them to Barret. Or, like, your party members should have much more to do in this.
I would take away the time from children like Denzel.
Boo.
And give them to Barret.
Denzel is a boring little jerk, and I don't like Marlene either. And this movie made me dislike Cloud and Tifa. I'm like, man, they're boring. Like, everybody else has got something going on but them. Like, again, we talked about it earlier in this podcast, but
can
Cloud...
I just say that Tifa is 5,000% better
Remake
than she is in Advent Children, because she has an actual personality.
That is awesome to hear. But in this movie, Cloud is essentially going through the same arc he did in the game after Aerith dies, where he is blaming himself, it's taking it very hard, but 2 years after those events he's going through that again. He's being reckless because
he
feels guilt.
That's the really, really frustrating part of this movie, because that part of Cloud's personality was only for a brief slice of the game. Like, when he starts out, he's cocky and confident, but it's all just completely an act, and then the facade shatters when Aerith dies, and he kind of goes catatonic when he starts to question his own reality. But then he gets over it. He realizes, like, you know what? It doesn't matter, you know, where I came from, who I am, like what the truth of my past is. The important thing is that I'm here. I'm fighting for what's right. I've got my friends with me. We're all going to make this right, and it's going to be great. And yeah, like, this movie just completely throws all that out of the window and says, what if the only part of Cloud that were real was the Cloud that's like sitting catatonic in a wheelchair? That's the real Cloud. That's who he actually is. And it's just baffling that this comes from the guy who wrote the scenario for Final Fantasy VII. Nojima, he should have known better. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I realize, like, sure, you can say that people deal with trauma in different ways, but just like this movie just entirely undermines Cloud's entire arc in Final Fantasy VII. It makes the entire video game completely pointless, because nothing that happened to him in that game matters, because he's back to being like sad sack whiny boy who doesn't, you know, like the scene with his cell phone, his very branded cell phone that you can no longer buy.
Aww.
And horribly dates this movie, dropping into the lake and playing like all the messages that have been building up on his phone because he's ghosted everyone. I don't know. It's just so frustrating. I played Final Fantasy back in the day and was like, oh, wow, Cloud's a good character.